Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Monday postcast, looking back primarily on a sensational day of racing at Ascot on Saturday, KITCO British Champions Day, and looking forward to the week ahead, which ends with not only Group 1 action at Doncaster, but I think the thing that will probably excite most people is the return of racing at Cheltenham on Friday and Saturday. The jump season is well and truly upon us, or the core part of the jump season is, and that will no doubt delight my two guests today, my Racing Post colleagues, Mark Boylan and Tom Park. And Tom Park is very excited about the start of the jump season because today, Tom, you have produced a real thing of beauty in our big jump off 72-page guide to the season. It's available in shops as we speak now. From Wednesday, Tom, it'll be available in shops as a standalone product as well. Just tell people what is so fabulous about it.
Yeah, thanks very much, Lee. We've combined all of the talents at the Racing Post and from the racing world, really. There's a lot of big names involved, and they are just getting us really excited for the jump season with a range of features, tipping, horses to follow, everything you need really for the jump season, all in one place. It should serve as a real appetizer for what promises to be a really exciting season.
And Tom, from all the pieces that have appeared in the pullout, has it left you with maybe one horse or one race that you're particularly excited about over the coming months?
I think the Champion Chase has the potential to be a real spectacular race. It was a funny stat actually. There's 16 horses since 1988 that have recorded RPRs of 180 or more. Yeah. Now, last season we had Manella Indoor and Chacun Pour Soi both got 179. Now, Chacun Pour Soi getting 179. And with the likes of the real exciting duo of Shishkin and Energamine coming through the ranks, there's potential there for a real elite superstar. Maybe a new sprinter Saka in the 2 mile division, which will really get everyone's pulse racing. I actually think that Chacun Pour Soi has gone a little bit forgotten this year. I think everyone's getting worked up about the two novices coming through, but they were only beating novices. And Chacun Pour Soi's performance at Punchestown was properly good. And I think just because he wasn't quite at his best at Cheltenham, he's going a little bit forgotten about. And I think the change of tactics is definitely the way forward of Chacun. And I think that he'll be ridden with a lot more prominent. And, he might actually turn up at the Tingle Creek, possibly even take on Shishkin, which would be a real treat.
Oh, geez, yeah, blimey, that would be a heck of a reason to get to Sandown on that particular Saturday. And Mark, before we just crack on with Ascot, is there one jump source, one jump race you're really revved up for?
This could be a sign of things to come. Myself and Parky are on the same page with Chacun. I absolutely adore him.
Really?
Yeah, right. I come away feeling from Cheltenham last season was that people might be willing to write him off, but I wasn't one of them. And look, maybe it's going to be the usual heartbreak that we'll get to Cheltenham and maybe it'll all unravel once again. But I think he's the sort of horse that'll keep the dream alive until then anyway. So I think if the ship is going down, both of us are going down with it.
I'm sure the ship will continue to sail serenely into its destination. All right, guys. Ascot Saturday. I should say as well that I'm not Maddie Plale. I'm Lee Mortised, and I was at Ascot on Saturday. Maddie will be back next week. I was at Ascot on Saturday for KITCO British Champions Day. I thought its 10th anniversary staging was just about as good a Champions Day as we had. The rain that came down on Saturday morning, I don't think affected the ground too much. We had fabulous racing across the card, and it kicked off with the Long Distance Cup, which was a race not without controversy. It produced back-to-back victories for Trushan, the Evens favourite, who beat Tashkan, a 50-1 outsider, with Stradivarius in third. And Mark, before we talk about the winner, there was controversy afterwards with Frankie Dettori expressing significant displeasure with the ride of Dylan Brown McGonagall on Baron Sander, who finished sixth. He said he accused Dale and Dylan really of keeping his horse out wide. John Gosden spoke about jockeys riding to ride more than one horse. Was there any justification in what Frankie said?
No, I don't believe so. And I was quite disappointed to read it. Forget about ages of lads that are involved here. And Dylan is a young talent that plenty of us think the world of over here. And he's going to be champion apprentice. So regardless of who it is, I'm disappointed to see him pull him out. Because this, I watched the race back and I thought, being quite honest, that Frankie gave Stradivarius an ordinary ride. And that's not pocket talk. I didn't engage in any bet in the race. I just thought he had him far enough off the pace. And I, you know, the way the race unfolded wasn't kindly, but he wasn't the master of his own destiny. And, you know, Dylan Monaghan, I would be disappointed in him if he didn't hold his line in the way he did or identify points of the race where pace might slack or where there was gaps that were going to appear or shut. I think it was very astute race riding. And yeah, I was disappointed that a senior rider of his standing would go that way. But we've seen it with Holly Doyle as well. I think Brian Sheeran, my colleague over here, sums it up pretty well in his another review column beside yours in the paper today. I was just disappointed. And for Dylan, for all that maybe coming out of Ascot on Saturday, he might have been disappointed that, you know, his name might be attached to a story that was, you know, mentioning him in that sort of light. I think he actually gained a lot of supporters for, not particularly for the ride, but people could sympathise for him when they watch back the race and see that it wasn't a realistic view, I think, of what went on. There were other circumstances there. And, you know, I think the incident going into the first term with the Mediterranean moving across, that had more of an impact than anything that Dylan did. So to me, I would be very pleased if I'm the connection to Baron Samedy, bar the fact that the horse just wasn't good enough on the day. He would have been my idea of the winner probably going into it. But yeah, Stradivarius, I think he was beaten fair and square with the way the race panned out. It wasn't that anyone went out there with any motive to do him particularly, I didn't feel.
Tom, Stradivarius, we'll say a bit more about him in a second, but the race itself went to Trushan, maybe didn't find the ground as soft as he would have liked it, but he still won well. And with Subjectivist, his future very much in doubt on the race course, Trushan, would you see him as the stayer to beat through next season?
Yeah, I think he's very much a horse for the autumn. I think he does need cutting the ground. That's when you're going to see him at his very, very best. So whether I would be inclined to back him for the Ascot Gold Cup, certainly not at this stage, I wouldn't. But he's a brilliant, brilliant stayer. I mean, to hold your form as well as he has all through the season, I mean, the ground was probably a little bit on the quicker side for him at Ascot, but he certainly got away with it. He's just a real gutsy, talented stayer. He doesn't have that flash of brilliance that Stradivarius had back in his pomp, which perhaps maybe people kind of do it a disservice to him, but I think he's a proper horse. And certainly the races that he's won at the back end of this season, the Cadran, if it turns up soft at Goodwood or even at Ascot, I think as long as the ground's soft, he's certainly the horse to beat going forward.
And Tom, the future of Stradivarius hasn't been decided yet. Owner Bjorn Nielsen and John Gosden and Thady Gosden will make a decision over the coming days. Bjorn seemed to be talking like a man who was planning to retire the horse after the Cadran. They had another go here. He's not run a bad race. He's finished third in what was a Group One in all but name. If he was yours, would you be racing him next season?
Oh, you don't want to see these. Stradivarius has been such a brilliant horse. Look, he ran a perfectly good race. He clearly loves his training and his racing. He loves being a racehorse. If he was mine, I think I would probably be... look how excited he gets at the races. I'm sure a career at stud's going to be... It'll be a load of fun for Stradivarius. I think I would be calling it a day now. I don't know what more there... He's achieved everything that he was set out to achieve. I think there were possibly, after Yates's Gold Cup record, he's not realistically going to be breaking that now, I wouldn't have thought. He's been a brilliant, brilliant horse. And, you know, that the win at York earlier in the season was a real highlight of the season for me. He's just been a brilliant, brilliant horse. And whatever decision is made, I just hope they do right by the horse. And look, if we get to see him on the race course again, fantastic. But we don't want to be seeing him on a race course finishing down the field. We want to be seeing Stradivarius of old. So it'll be interesting to see. But if he was mine, I think I would be calling it a day now. It was a good race at the weekend. He fell down on his sword. Like, it was a proper ding dong. He lost nothing in defeat. I just think it's a good time now to wrap it up and call it a day.
It'd be interesting to see what they do. So we should know more potentially this week. There's no doubt that Creative Force will definitely be racing next season. He's a gelding. There's no stud career for him to look forward to in the future. And he produced a clear PB when winning the Kipco British Champion Sprint. I think a lot of people thought that the easing of the ground would be very much in his favour. It was a cracking race. He overhauled Glenn Shiel with Mizal in third, Art Power in fourth. Mark, the sprinting scene this season has been a little bit complicated. Plenty of horses winning Group 1 races. Where do you think Creative Force stands among them?
Well, it's a funny division to assess because we're missing Dream of Dreams this time of year. And he would have been obviously a big player in this sort of race. You have Starman is obviously not around anymore, and Oxtail has been sidelined. So it has left the door open for something like Creative Force to barge in and say, hey, I'm the best. And this was a performance that very much stamped his authority, I thought, on the division for who currently is around. It was the sort of race that, you know, you could have made cases for any number of them going into the race. But he was dominant, you know. And I think the fact that we see sometimes with these sprinters that at three, they're not at their very best. You know, okay, obviously we have some two-year-olds that maybe two and three is absolutely their time to shine. But this horse now, he doesn't strike me as just a three-year-old. You know, he strikes me as one that can go on again. And we know how good Charlie Appleby is with these sprinters when they get into the groove that they know they can. It's very, very hard to look beyond him as being a force, pardon the pun, in this division for a long time. But can I just give a shout out to Glenn Shiel while I'm at it? Because, you know, this season I didn't quite get the vibe that we're on the same sort of level of form that we're dealing with. Sorry, not even quite this season, but, you know, in the last few runs, I wasn't heading into this with great encouragement. You know, he's gone off 22-1 or something like that. And the first time blinkers seem to have given him new life. And he loves that straight six at Ascot. He loves the little bit of ease in the ground as well. I thought that was a super effort from our horse. You know, for all that we love the National Hunt side of things where horses are coming back every season, I think this division, when you have horses who are gelded, it does give you a chance maybe to warm to some of them, you know, a la Brando. You know, I really hope Glenn Shiel, he can stick around for another while longer and give us more to shout about. But Creative Force, very, very impressed.
And Tom, also on Saturday, that was the final victory Creative Force for one of the two championship challenges. William Buick rode a winner on that one. Nothing for Sheen Murphy on the final day. Obviously, there were wider, higher profile issues about Sheen Murphy that have been well reported. But just in terms of the actual Jockeys Championship, was it something that really excited you to the final weeks?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because I couldn't quite enjoy the conclusion due to doing the jumps off. My head was very much in jump season mode, dreaming about Chacun Pourcoir and all of them rather than the Jockey Championship. But look, it was a real ding-dong, and this is not the first time we've been treated to quite a few recently Jockey Championship battles that have taken place over recently. Years, and it is really enthralling to watch, actually. And to have, I'm a big fan of having the conclusion on Champions Day. I think it just adds to the excitement. And I think I think it was a brilliant spectacle. There's bigger issues to come out of it. Obviously, Ushie Murphy's kind of, I think, alluded to how mentally straining it can be. And it's maybe something in the future that we've got to just keep an eye on of how much this takes out of our jockeys. They're putting on a show for us, but going up and down the land on a daily basis and putting so much pressure on yourself to ride winners is it quite clearly can take its toll. And that is something I think, as much as we want to see these battles taking place every year, it's just something that we've probably got to be mindful in the future of.
And Mark Boylan, if we're looking to next season's title over here, do you think it will be Ashin Murphy, William Buick or A.N. Other?
It's hard to look beyond Ashin if he gives the same level of commitment to the title next season. Like when you hear him speaking about that personal side of things, the pressure he puts on himself, you know, already he stated his intent that he does want to go for it again. you know, but he'd obviously be more than entitled if he felt that that was too demanding, that he could take a step back. But provided he is, he's going for it, he is the one to beat, you'd have to imagine, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. What will be interesting too is that there might well be more contenders coming into it. And I'm sure William Buick will be really up for it. His agent, Tony Hind, loves having got the championship. And I'm sure he'll be pushing hard for it as well. Snowfall looked a champion through a big chunk of the season, was devastating in the Oaks, then followed up in the Irish Oaks and the Yorkshire Oaks. She'd lost her previous two races going into the Kipco British Champion Fillies and Mare Stakes, but she was sent off 8-11 favourite to win it. And Tom, there was a big roar from the crowd when she came through looking like she was going to win early in the straight, but then flattened out. Ashada beat Alba Flora in a fantastic duel through the final furlong. What did you take from the contest?
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably got suckered into the bookies kind of dangled a price that was quite backable about Snowfall, given her level of form. But it just screamed to me of a horse who has had a hard season. She's produced some brilliant performances, and I think her last three starts, we've not quite... Maybe, I know she ran a perfectly good race in the arc, but she's perhaps got progressively worse on her last three starts. And that isn't the Snowfall that we saw absolutely running away with the Oaks and the Yorkshire Oaks in such a spectacular fashion. It'll be interesting to see what connections do with her. If they keep her in training, she could really be a force to reckon with. But look, Aidan O'Brien's haven't been running well for quite some time, and it perhaps had played a little bit of a part in that as well. But take nothing away from the two who won as well. I mean, the first and second, that was a good performance. I know Snowfall's clearly, I mean, you can tell from just the horses that were running in the race and where she's finished, she's run well below her best. But yeah, take nothing away from Ashara. That was a very good performance. Jim Crowley, he was just absolutely spectacular on Champions Day. He's talking about champion jockeys, and he's not quite racked up the numbers that the other two have, but he's been sensational this season, and it was a hell of a riding performance on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Just in terms of the race itself, Mark, Ashara, is she one that you could see really progressing from that victory now?
She doesn't have many miles in the clock, Lee. So, I mean, you'd be encouraged in that sense that there could be a little bit more to come. Really, it's job done. Winning a Group 1, only whatever, 5 or 6 starts into her career. From a breeding point of view, it's very, very positive in that sense. But I'd be keen to see her come back again. And, you know, physically, you get the impression that, you know, if she did strengthen up over the winter, there could be more to come. Like, Alba Flora is a good, solid yardstick now. And there was a lot to like about her attitude late on, and 1-2 for Muharrar as a sire as well in the race. I just felt that Snowfall, it kind of had that feeling of kind of going to the well once too many this season. And, you know, in fairness, Aidan O'Brien wouldn't run her unless she was absolutely showing him what he needed to see. But I felt kind of defecting from the Champion Stakes, for all that Love kind of was the intended runner in there, and they weren't satisfied with her on declaration morning. You know, if she was really humming, you got the feeling, well, I would have got the feeling that they might have taken a chance getting the weight from the boys and the Champion. And look, a little bit of a disappointing race, but a good finish from an entertainment point of view.
Yeah, it was a fantastic finish, and there were more of them as the day went on, and we'll be looking back at those Ascot races after this break.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to part two of this Monday postcast with myself, Lee Mottershead, Mark Boylan, and Tom Park. And next on our review list is the Kipco back Queen Elizabeth II Stakes. It was the most eagerly anticipated mile contest of the season, with Bayeed taking on Palace Pier and plenty more. And it was Bayeed and Palace Pier who fought out the finish, finishing in that order with Lady Beaufort a charging third. Tom, I was stood by Jim Crowley in the winner's enclosure before that race when Mike Catamore was interviewing him after Asiada's victory. Mike said to him, how good do you think Bayeed is? Jim said, we'll find out in a minute. What did you think we find out? How good do you think Bayeed is?
I think this was one hell of a performance. I think that the front two, I don't think the race quite panned out as well as it possibly could have for both Palace Pia and Bayeed, and they still found a way to fight out what was a terrific finish. Palace Pia has proven over the last 2 years that he is so tough in the finish. It isn't very easy to... I mean, the only time that anything's ever out-battled him is Bayeed, and the only other time he's been beaten was when he had perfectly legitimate excuses when running no race at all last year. This was a proper performance, and moving forward, I mean, how exciting is an unbeaten miler? He's a brother, I think, to Hookham, who runs over, like, 1 mile six he's won over before. So there is a he looks all speed, but... Look, there's a good chance that he might do a similar route to Frankel next year and step up in trip. And it would be brilliant to see him in something like the Judmont moving forward next year. He could just mop up the mile division. He's clearly very, very good. I think Palace Pier was undoubtedly the three-year-old miler of last season. And up until Saturday was the miler, best miler probably in the world. And look, his winning margin was a neck. He's probably value for a little bit more as well, I think. I think it was a proper performance and hugely exciting. I'd like to just give a... Because we've been talking about O'Brien's form and stuff. I thought it was a hell of a run from Mother Earth back in fifth. Right. She was ridden very quietly out the back and produced a really nice turn of foot. Now, she spies off me, I think, and... she might not stay further, but she just looks as a horse who might just thrive for a step up and trip. And I just wonder whether they'll explore possibly like things like the Coral Eclipse and stuff. She's been so consistent this year when the yard hasn't always been firing. She's been right up there in great group ones every single time. And she's clearly very, very tough. And Magical was obviously retired last year, but she's of the same mould and she might not quite get as far as Magical. But she's a properly consistent horse, and I'm pretty excited to see how she gets on next year. The yards hits a bit more form. That was a really nice performance, I thought, back in fifth. She would have finished a little bit closer had she not found a little bit of trouble in running.
Breeders' Cup, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. She obviously she went close last year. I think that she'd be all over the Breeders' Cup. Not one to rule out. I thought that was a really eye-catching performance back in fifth.
And Mark, you've spoken already about one Frankie Dettori riding incident from the first race. After this one, it was John Gosden who was handing out a bit of criticism, saying that Frankie spent too much time looking around. Was there any justification in that? And was Palace Period anyway an unfortunate loser?
He possibly could have said go earlier, knowing the type of horse he is, but I still think the best horse won on the day. I think he could run the race again, and I think Bayeed, you know, when he got there, Palace Pier did keep him honest, and that might give you the impression. So I think the best horse on the day won, so I ultimately wouldn't hold huge gripes in that sense. But it's brilliant when you see these races that you're hoping that they do come to the fore, because, you know, we spend so long building up clashes and hoping they materialise, especially with a jump season like where we're hoping that, you know, we get the chance to meet, and they duck and dive so often. Like, there's been a few occasions this year, for all that, you know, the Irish Champion Stakes had an element of controversy to it. To get Tarnawa, Poetic Flair and St. Mark's Basilica in the one spot at the one time was the sort of thing that gives you energy for a season like this. And same here, you know, I thought it was really, really enjoyable. And Bayeed, it's very encouraging to hear that he's staying around next season, you know, and by Sea the Stars, he's really, really exciting. And, you know, for all that he has that encouragement beyond the pedigree, he could go further. You know, I'd be happy to keep him around a mile for the time being. God, he has gears. And, you know, he mightn't show the same visual maybe that he was showing in lower grades earlier in the season. But think of how far he's come in such a short space of time. Like, it's 7th of June, he's winning a maiden at Leicester. You know, first time we're ever seeing him. And now he's up there with the best milers in the world. So that level of improvement, if he was to even show half the same progression next season, wow, we have so much to look forward to.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And just if on a personal level, if I can just send best wishes to Lady Beauthorpe on her retirement. I think she's been an absolute star this season for William Jarvis. Kieran Schumach, Anna Rona, Emma Banks, who was stood in the winner's enclosure, looking up at the big screen where she saw first Bayeed, second Palace Pier. And she said, my goodness, I'm the only one of those that doesn't own an oil well, which I thought was a very nice line. Next up, we had the Kitco Champion Stakes. And I remember after the Arc, Tom, there was a bit of, my goodness, what happened there to Quarto Tasso? Now, Sealaway wasn't a 40-1 shot. He was a 12-1 shot. But his defeat of Dubai Honor and Max Sweeney with neither Adeyar nor Mishra placed, it wasn't what I was expecting. What about you?
Yeah. It was a bit of a puzzling race, the way that it's kind of unfolded. I never really looked at Sealaway. I kind of thought, well, he was what we use it, Champions Day. I mentioned to Paul Keely on Watch Out the other day. We tend to use a stick to beat the horses that ran on Arc Day. When they run at Champions Day, we kind of go, oh, well, they might have had a hard race. It was only a 13-day turnaround from Longchamp. So if you fancied Adeyar, your argument for supporting him, it probably should have still applied to Sealaway. He finished right up the back of them. He ran a brilliant race in the Arc. I dismissed Sealaway on the basis that he'd had a hard race in the Arc, but ended up back in Adeyar, so it made no sense whatsoever. So, it was a good performance. It maybe just proves that Aidan O'Brien was maybe not talking as much nonsense as we thought when he was saying that St Mark's Basilica was one of the best horses that he's ever trained, because this horse has been beaten by him on a couple of occasions. It would have been very interesting to see if St Mark's Basilica was in this race where he'd have finished, but I suspect it might have been an excellent performance. It just goes to show, though, that I think that the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe this year, as much as the winner has been, it was a shock, I think it will still prove to be a very, very good race. I know Adeyar was a bit disappointing, but he had a hard season, and look, the way that he was ridden, it wasn't over his right trip either. I mean, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, I think, will turn out to be a very good race. We've already had a winner from it here. Again, just looking down the field, I thought Max Sweeney ran an absolute stormer at big odds. He's been just waiting for this kind of ground all year. I'm not sure what the plans are with him, but he's certainly one to keep your eye on if he does stay in training next year on soft ground. He's clearly a different animal when he gets his ground. And he kind of showed some of the promise that he'd hinted at the start of the season. He showed there. But that was a big performance back in third.
Mark, what were your thoughts after the Champion Stakes?
Yeah, look, I was surprised maybe by the outcome or the 1-2-3, and McSwinney definitely surprised me now, because he's a horse I've struggled to catch right. But again, as Tom was pointing to there, soft ground is so important to him, or an ease in the ground, I should say. You know, we get this though sometimes towards the end of the season where, you know, horses have had relatively long years and have been asked big questions, maybe in the case of Adeyar at 3, and, you know, asking them to back it up again in a race like this can be quite difficult. And as a piece of form, maybe we're looking at when we sit down at the end of the season and look at the stronger, maybe the top level 10 furlong races, I probably would have this as a piece of form that is, you know, below probably the Eclipse or the Jumbo International. But I still think the winner is when he gets these conditions, as we've seen before, when he won the Lagadère and he blew Nando Parado away last year. You know, he is a very, very talented horse when all falls right. From approaching this race, considering how British and Irish horses have had an absolute beano going over to France and winning their big races, he wasn't an immediate one that I thought would come over here and cause us trouble. But, you know, I thought Mikel Barzalona, in terms of tactically approaching the race, the way he did was terrific. He delivered his challenge really, really. I haven't got the sectionals to support it or got a chance to look at the sectionals, I felt he delivered his challenge, very, very timely. Dubai Honor enhances his reputation big time as well. I wouldn't give up on Adyar over 10 furlongs. I know there's rumblings there that he might go back to 12, but, you know, this isn't the time to be making a call, I would find, a feel on, you know, his best trip. You know, he's a strong galloper, and I still think a Judmal International, you know, next season, I'd absolutely love to see him in that, and to do a Gaiat-type performance on it. I really look forward to him. And as for Mishrif, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of the time you can't win the race in the first half of it, but you can lose it in the first half of the race. And I thought his draw left him maybe limited in terms of options, maybe, and he raced on ground that would have been quite cut up. It was just a little bit messy for him. I'd imagine David Egan maybe had to deliver his challenge a little bit earlier just to keep with them. And, you know, for all that his form early in his career was, he had some good runs with a cut in the ground. He's very, very good, as we saw on a good surface in the Judmont this year. Like, that was his most impressive performance, in my view, anyway. We saw him in Maidan as well on good ground. You know, to me, this is a horse that you see the absolute best of him when there's quick ground. And as a big fan of the horse, I was disappointed that he couldn't hang on for a place in the end. But I don't know what the plan is for him next season. You'd imagine he's such a lucrative asset in terms of breeding that we mightn't see him. But if he did, I'd be hugely, hugely excited. And in terms of long years, the last thing I'd say on it, he's had an incredibly long year. For all that he's been freshened up, you know, you went from finishing down the field in this race last year to, you know, February, March, you know, going to Saudi, going to Dubai, you know, it's a huge ask. And even though he's been beaten, he was far from disgraced. And I think he's a real champion.
Excellent. Yeah, he certainly has been a champion. And guys, just before we finish off part two and move on to Ask It, just quickly, the Balmoral Handicap, a treble completed here for Jim Crowley and Shadwell, double for William Haggis, as Aldari came out on top, one of the least exposed members of the field. Tom, is that a group horse for next season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Quite how much he'll go into group company, I'm not sure, but I think he looked a group horse. He's looked a group horse a few times this season, to be fair. He had a little bit of a dip earlier on in the season. I marked him down as a group horse running in handicap way back in Royal Ascot, I think it was. Yeah, I thought he was going to go on to bigger things from there. But yeah, it was surprising to see that he was still running in handicap company come Champions Day, to be honest. But he was a very nice winner. And yeah, another exciting miler, I think, for the Haggis team, albeit he might not quite be up to the Group 1 level that that Baid's going to be running to, but I think certainly he's going to be in a Group 3, Group 2 horse going on next season.
Okay, and Matt, any views on the race?
Yeah, not an easy race for three-year-olds in recent years, and yeah, echo that, group horse, easing the ground really suited him, and the market spoke, and by God, he answered, didn't he? Very good.
He did indeed. Cheers, guys. We're going to be looking at some more group horses and some graded horses when we return after this break.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. Final part now as we just quickly have a look at what is to come over the rest of this week. Really leading up to a fascinating Saturday on the flat and over jumps. On the flat, first of all, we've got the Vitem Futurity Trophy, in which, Mark, looking at the forfeits that have come through, as I'm talking now, they're not quite yet published on the Post website, but they're there on the Weatherby site where they first appear. The Vitem Futurity Trophy, the sexiest horse in there is Luxembourg, as we expected. Aidan O'Brien trains this one. He is favourite for the Derby at this stage next season. Royal Patronage, who won the Royal Lodge, is in there for Mark Johnston. Angel Blur and the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère is in there as well. Have you had any thoughts so far, Mark, on the Futurity?
Well, you know, regular listeners to this podcast know I'm a huge fan of Luxembourg. I think he's the Derby winner next season, and I really hope he can live up to his reputation at the weekend. It's the sort of race where if a horse was to run below par, I still wouldn't lose hope with a view to next season. You know, it's a time of year where horses' coats can just be turning, and, you know, sometimes horses are growing at different points of the year, and I wouldn't be particularly hard to beat a horse if he didn't handle it. in a race like this, but I don't have those concerns really with Luxembourg. I still think he's supremely talented. You know, everything he's done so far, whether his last performance, particularly on the clock, was backed up strongly. I will just give a mention to one that has been left in the race. I don't know whether he will run, but Sissoko, trained by Dunica O'Brien, I thought he was probably the most impressive maiden winner now I've seen for a few weeks anyway, definitely. Oh, sorry, a bit of a kind of damning of a faint praise the last few weeks. I mean, standout maiden performance in recent weeks, one of the better two-year-old maiden winners I've probably seen at the back end of the season. And he's going to be a real three-year-old type, you get the impression, Derby candidate down the road. But if they turned him out quickly and he was answering the calls that they're asking, God, he's very, very exciting for Dunica. So I still think Luxembourg is absolutely the one to beat. But Sissoko is a sneaky one there that if you weren't watching the car last week, you might have missed him. But I think you're going to be hearing a lot about him going forward.
Excellent. Parky, are you a man who's very much thinking that Luxembourg is a classic winner waiting to happen? Or have you not been quite so convinced yet?
Possibly. Look, I think he's probably a bit produced with regards to the Derby. I think he's the horse that's probably produced the best most eye-catching performance. It was very, very good the way that he just kicked clear of them last time. And he's absolutely the rightful favourite. With just looking at this race, I would have a worry about how Aidan O'Brien's are running at the moment. Now, it could be that a lot of his horses are coming off the end of a long season and have just they're just over the top a little bit. This horse has only had two starts, so I'm sure he'll be fighting fit. But it would just concern me if you're going to be taking a short price about Luxembourg at the weekend. I could see him getting beat here and still being very much one for the Derby next year. I think Angel Blur is a big old price here at 5-1, assuming that he's going to run. Very impressive on Arc Day. Or was it the day before Arc Day? I think it was, wasn't it? We'll love the conditions. Very much in form. I kind of think each way 6-1. Fill your boots there.
Okay, and Tom's filling boots. We're looking ahead as well to Cheltenham. 2 days, Friday, Saturday. Those Saturday entries just coming through. We've got horses like Tritonic and Zanayir in the four-year-old conditions hurdle. Cloth Cap is entered. Sky Pirates entered. Really good stuff there. We've got the old Roan at Aintree on Sunday. We've got Cheltenham on Friday as well. Guys, Tom, what are you looking forward to as this week goes on?
I'm looking forward to seeing Tritonic. I actually put him up as a potential dark horse for the champion hurdle this year. There was something about the way that he won his races last year, particularly at Kempton, that got me really excited. He ran an absolute stinker in the Triumph, make no mistakes about it. But he wouldn't be the first horse to run down the field or not win the Triumph and turn out to be rather good. I mean, take off the top of my head, I can think of Apples Jade, who I think finished third or fourth and then absolutely hosed up at Aintree on her next start. But look, Tritonic, we've not seen him since the Triumph. We're going to know pretty quickly whether he's up to champion hurdle class. He's certainly going to have to clean up on his jumping. But his jumping improved before Cheltenham anyway, with every start. And there was just something about the way that he kicked clear of them that just... He made me think that is a really good horse. He's got some good form on the flat. I think he's about 100-1 for the champion hurdle at the moment and couldn't put anyone off that. I think that's a big old price. You'll know probably by Sunday whether you've got a bet there or not. But I think he's a really exciting horse, certainly at this point. So I'm really interested to see if he can put that Triumph run behind him and bounce back.
Okay, well, the Big Jump Off editor has given a big tip for Tritonic as this season goes on, 100-1 for the champion hurdle. Mark, what is exciting you this week?
I haven't got a 100-1 Cheltenham tip anyway. I wish I did.
Oh, shame on you, Boydon. Shame on you.
He's really putting me to shame. I'm particularly excited to hear Zanier's name mentioned there. Yes. In the Mastersons, I think it is. The Masterson Hold, the four-year-old race on Saturday, the 2:55, the Tritonic Clash. Looking forward to seeing him because for all that he had a good year last year, I just didn't think we saw the very best of him either. I mean, I think tactically the races at Cheltenham and Punchestown weren't run to suit. And I'd be very, very eager to see how high he can fly this season. Just haven't got a chance, to be quite honest, to dissect the cards as strongly as I like at this stage. But the maiden hurdle at Cheltenham on Friday, the final race, the 5:25. Very interested to see how Godante gets on. Just from, I know the bare form of what he did on debut at Wincanton in March time wasn't probably spectacular, but the style was definitely there. He got all the style points. And yeah, very much looking forward to seeing what he can do this season for Ollie Murphy. You'd imagine he should be nice and forward. And he'd be one to look forward to for Ollie. He's got a good team, it looks like, this season. So we're getting to grips with it now. We've got bits and pieces of them. These jumps horses coming back over the next few weeks over here. There mightn't be maybe a standout this weekend, but we'd have the JN Wine at Down Royal to come and races like that. So, you know, it's really beginning to hot up when you're talking about the names we've mentioned at the start of this podcast.
Yeah, loads to look forward to. And before we actually start experiencing this week's action, we'll get Tom and Mark's best bet for any of the big races this week coming up. Parky, who do you like? Who are you going to be tipping?
So horse call, he's got two entries. Horse of Dan Skelton's called Cadzand. Now, I'd be particularly interested if they try to take advantage of his handicap mark. I think he's off 138. He's entered in a handicap at Cheltenham on Friday. I just think that this horse is so, so well handicapped off 138. I think he's definitely a 150 horse off what he showed over hurdles. He was entered, I think, at the weekend, but they pulled him out to the ground. I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on this season. Skelton is very much one to kind of plot a route to the something at the festival, and he would be my idea of a grand annual or the plate, something like that. Maybe even the 2.5 mile novice chase, although that's moved to Sandown now, hasn't it? So maybe yes. It doesn't quite have the same star appeal as a winner at the Cheltenham Festival. But he is definitely one to keep your eye on this season. And I think if they take the handicap route, I think his other entries at Carlisle over 2.5 miles, which I think he'd probably win that as well, but you might not quite get the value. But he's definitely a horse for this weekend, one to look forward to for this coming season as well.
And his name again is Tom?
Cadzand.
Adzan, Dan Skelton, this week. And Mark Boylan, what are you advising us to follow?
It's away from maybe the glitz and glamour of Cheltenham, but I think if you're looking for a winner, I'd like to think Sea Appeal will have a great chance at Goran tomorrow on Tuesday in the 4:40. 3-year-old, really sizable, you know, lot of scope to improve. And he stepped up to 1.6 for the first time on his latest start at the Stole. And it just seemed to bring out more improvement again. And I know he's up 9 pounds, but, you know, when these horses get on a roll and when they're able to handle a little bit of ease in the ground, as this fella can, this time of year can be particularly lucrative. So I'm looking forward to seeing Sea Appeal again. I'm sure he'd be a lovely jumping prospect for someone down the road. Maybe he'll be too good for that and wind up sticking to what he's at the moment. But on the flat at Gorn, give me Sheila Lavery's Sea Appeal, 4:40 tomorrow.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Tom. And before we go, Tom, anyone who hasn't yet got hold of their 72-page copy of The Big Jump Off, they can buy it later in the week, can't they, newsagents?
Yes, it comes out on Wednesday as a standalone edition. So if you get to the newsagent today and there's no racing posts left on the shelves because everybody's been trying to grab a copy of The Big Jump Off, fear not. There will be some more sent to independent news agents and co-ops mainly on Wednesday, so you'll be able to get your hand on one then. And if you can't get a hand on one then it's also available from the Racing Post shop online.
And a good excuse as well today to join the members club and get it digitally with all the other things that we produce for you. Thank you both. Thank you for listening to this Monday postcast. We will be back on Friday with a detailed look at the weekend's racing with Newbury, Cheltenham, Doncaster and Aintree and much, much more. If you enjoyed these shows, please do make sure to rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening to. Thank you for listening to this one, and until the next time, goodbye.